Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you on this beautiful morning. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online. A special welcome to those who are visitors. We hope and pray you enjoy being with us today. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 172. Hymn 172, sing for God's glory that colours the dawn of creation. Call to prayer comes from Psalm 5. Morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is our joy and privilege to come before you and to praise you, the one whose glory colours the dawn of creation, and the one whose power sets us free from all that binds us and holds us captive. God of every age, as we continue to celebrate your mightiest act, the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead, we thank you for the new life that we find in him, and for the peace, joy, and hope he gives to us. Lord of all, in this morning hour, we acknowledge that though we sing your praise, we can be slow to respond to your call to serve. We admit that while we want to follow Jesus, we find it hard to be like him. And we confess that often we are critical of others, but readily overlook our own faults and failings. God of new beginnings, you do not treat us as our sins deserve, but look favorably upon us. And loving us as you do, you are merciful and kind in your dealings with us. Forgive us and raise us up to a new level in our relationship with you, that responding to your love, we may turn from all that keeps us from being your people, and embracing the opportunity you give us to start afresh, we may walk humbly with you, the one who hears and restores us. Gracious God, the psalmist declared, "You turn my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy." As we wait now before you this new morning, may it please you to speak to us. And as we celebrate your abundant goodness, may our worship bring glory to you, the one who is ever faithful and ever sure. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and as he taught us, so we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a few notices to draw to your attention this morning. Articles for the summer edition of the Parishioner are now due. They should really be in by the close of today, but if it's at some point this week, that will be perfectly fine. We're looking for devotional pieces, for book reviews, photographs, recipes. All such things would be very, very welcome indeed. And the summer edition covers the months of June, July, and August. This year marks the 80th anniversary of the beginning of Christian Aid. It's a wonderful charity that works globally to help alleviate poverty and fight injustice. Today actually marks the beginning of Christian Aid Week. And if you're able to support Christian Aid, then that would be wonderful. There are some envelopes in both vestibules of the church, but they're also scattered around the church and some of the pews down the stairs and up the stairs. So if you'd like to take an envelope away with you, you can return it next week or whenever. And of course, you're able to give online through Christian Aid's own website or the church website. Stirling Kirks Together will host a lunch in Park Church Hall this coming Wednesday at 12 noon, and as always, everyone will be welcome. The General Assembly of the Church of Scotland will meet in Edinburgh this coming Thursday. I do commend the General Assembly to you. This is not an easy time for our own denomination, with a lot of changes taking place. So do pray for the moderator designate, for assembly officials, and for all the commissioners. And finally, there's a box for used stamps in the main vestibule of the church. Now, I was delighted earlier this morning when Margaret here gave me this wreath. It was made by her grandson, Connor. And Connor is 15 years of age, and he has special needs. But at school the other day, he and his friends made this wreath to commemorate VE Day. Isn't that just lovely all together? And I was very interested because Margaret told me that one of the poppies is also to remember the animals who died during the war. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? We think of the human cost, but lots and lots of animals lost their lives as well. So this is wonderful, and I'm very pleased to have this. Please do say thank you to Connor from me, Margaret. Now, I wonder, would anyone like to tell us what you had for your breakfast this morning? Toast. Hands up if you had toast. Anything else? Poached egg. Lovely. Poached egg. Anyone have cereal? Yes, cereal. Quite a lot of us like cereal in the morning. I like maybe cereal and toast and jam or that, but you'll maybe understand I don't always have a great appetite for breakfast on a Sunday morning because I'm coming to face you lot. And don't take that the wrong way, but the nerves can be working away. I wonder if anyone had kippers this morning. What about smoked salmon? Eggs Benedict? Poached eggs and avocado? I don't think I would like any of these things really when I'm working. However, if I'm on holiday, well, a full English, please. And don't forget the HP sauce. We're told that following Jesus' resurrection, some of the disciples who were puzzled, confused, bewildered, decided to go fishing. And though they fished all night, by the time morning came, they had caught nothing. However, Jesus was standing on the shore, and he saw them. And they were reasonably close, so he was able to shout to them, and he says, "Listen, cast your net to the other side," and they did. And what a fantastic catch of fish they had. Now, when they came ashore, I wonder, how do you think they were feeling? How do you think they were feeling when they came ashore? Happy? Happy, because at last they had something to show for their hours fishing. However, they were also tired because they'd been fishing all night. How glad they must have been then when Jesus said, "Come, come and join me for some breakfast." Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the risen Lord, Jesus, the one who had been dead but now was alive forevermore, had prepared them their breakfast. We are followers of Jesus today, and though we cannot see him in the way that the first followers did, this we know: he has prepared something wonderful for us, a delightful inheritance. Life with him in this world, with all its wonderful blessings, and life with him in the world to come, where we will be with him for all eternity. and what joy we shall know. Thanks be to our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. We're going to sing a lovely, lovely hymn, 532. A lovely tune as well, isn't it, Tony? It's really a cracker, as they say. 532. Lord, you have come to the seashore.
The reading this morning are taken from Psalm 30 and John chapter 21 verses 1 to 9, and you'll find these on pages 466 and pages 99 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 30, page 466. I shall exalt you, Lord, and have you lifted me up, and have not let my enemies be jubilant over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you, and you healed me. You have brought me up, Lord, from Sheol, and saved my life as I was sinking into the abyss. Sing a psalm to the Lord, all you, his loyal servants. Give thanks to his holy name. In his anger is distress, in his favour there is life. Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I felt secure and said, I can never be shaken. Lord, by your favour you made my mountain strong. When you hid your face, I was struck with dismay. To you, Lord, I called and pleaded with you for mercy. What profit is there in my death, in my going down to the pit? Can the dust praise you? Can it proclaim your truth? Hear, Lord, and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned my laments into dancing. You have stripped off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that I may sing psalms to you without ceasing. Lord, my God, I shall praise you forever. And the second reading is on page 99 of the Pew Bible. Some time later, Jesus showed himself to his disciples once again by the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter was with Thomas the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples. I am going out fishing, said Simon Peter. We will go with you, said the others. So they set off and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Morning came, and Jesus was standing on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, have you caught anything? No, they answered. He said, Throw out your net to starboard and you will make a catch. They did so, and they could not haul the net on board, there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, It is the Lord, he fastened his coat about him, for he had stripped, and plunged into the sea. The rest of them came on into the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were only about 100 yards from land. When they came ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish laid on it and some bread. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Callum. We sing the hymn 412, The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done. Hymn 4, 1, 2. Let us pray. Risen Lord, at breakfast on the shore, you rekindled the faith of your disciples, and hope was born again. Rekindle the faith, we pray, of all who struggle with the demands of everyday life, and rekindle the faith of your church. Today we pray for the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland that will convene in Edinburgh on Thursday. Bless the moderator designate, assembly officials and all commissioners. May your Holy Spirit equip and guide the assembly as it considers matters of great importance to the church at this time. And grant vision, Lord, and courage that there may be a fresh awareness of what you would have your church do in these days of challenge and of change. Gracious God, as we remember the Roman Catholic Church and the new Pope Leo XIV in our prayers, we pray for Father Jamie Boyle and the Roman Catholic community here in St. Ninian's. Strengthen the bonds that unite us and increase our witness in this place where you have called us to serve as one people. Lord God, as we pray for the peace of the world and recall with gratitude those who made victory in Europe Day possible, we remember places of conflict today, and we pray for all who seek reconciliation and harmony. God of the poor and marginalized, we pray for the work of Christian Aid. As we think of those in the world who are less fortunate than we are, those facing famine, victims of war and genocide, those with inadequate means to provide for themselves or improve their situation, bless those who work tirelessly, despite all kinds of obstacles, to build a fairer world. Give them strength to continue their work, and give us the will to support their cause through the sacrifices we make and the faith we proclaim. Transforming God, whose mercies are new every morning, we pray for those in need of your healing touch. We think of those we know in Forth Valley Royal Hospital, in the Belfield Centre, in Strathcarn Hospice, those elsewhere and those at home. And we remember with compassion all who mourn. As a congregation, we pray for the families and friends of Margaret Penman, Jim Miller, and Elizabeth Campbell. Be to them and all who grieve a comfort and source of peace. And now, O God, as we give thanks for the church in heaven, and for all whom we have known and loved still, we pray your blessing upon us as individuals and as a congregation. Inspire us with the knowledge that you are always with us, and lead us at the last to our eternal home. And all through that same Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. We sing paraphrase 61, paraphrase 61 being hymn 424, 424, Blessed Be the Everlasting God. Here is a good start of the day quote. Every morning is a fresh beginning. I like the morning and personally believe it to be the best part of the day. And if the sun is shining as it has been of late during this wonderful spell of weather, then even better. Every morning is a fresh beginning. These words are very appropriate as we think of the disciples following the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. John tells us in his gospel that some, though not all of them, had returned to Galilee, their old stamping ground. I think it would be fair to say they were struggling, really struggling. Struggling to understand what had happened, and on top of that, they were completely demoralized. So they decided to do something. Something familiar. Something they hoped would lift their minds. They went fishing. It's not unusual in times that are hard to do something familiar or routine. There can be a comfort in that. I was talking to a young woman recently who's understandably finding it hard coming to terms with her mother's passing. And she said to me, I've returned to my work because I find the structure, the routine, helps me and occupies my mind. I get that. It was Simon Peter who said to the disciples, "I am going fishing." Now, sometimes when we're up against it, we might want to spend time on our own, and if that was what Simon Peter had hoped for, well, he was in for a disappointment. Because when he says, "I am going fishing," the rest said to him, "Well, we're coming as well." Now, remember Simon Peter. He was the one who had denied Jesus, as Jesus had predicted. So you can imagine how he must have been feeling, the guilt of that. Must have been very, very heavy on his shoulders. But credit to him. He didn't sit around wallowing in his despair or guilt. He decided to do something practical. He went off fishing. And little did he and the others know that that experience would lead to a wonderful encounter. An encounter that would bring about the most wonderful degree of healing and restoration. There's something lovely about watching a fishing boat close to the shore with the fishermen sorting their nets and getting ready to land their catch. Quite often when I'm back in Campbelltown in the evening, I'll go out and it's lovely watching the fishing boats on the loch as they prepare to head in to the pier. However, on this occasion, as we noted earlier, Simon Peter and the others caught nothing. And no doubt, as a result, their sense of hopelessness would increase, and what little faith they had left possibly diminished further. But then in the morning, that special time of day, Jesus appeared on the shore, though they did not recognize him. And remarkably, he spoke to them. And what followed was what someone has described a beautiful conversation that shows the absolute grace of God. A beautiful conversation that shows the absolute grace of God. I imagine we will know from our own experience of life that when we find ourselves in a difficult situation, when we're up against it or hurting, people will tend to offer us advice. And that's good, most of the time. Sometimes we will listen. But isn't it true that what we actually hear can depend on the person talking to us, what we personally know of them, our previous involvement with them, their sincerity or otherwise? Jesus spoke to the disciples, and though in our version it says he addressed them as friends, in the original, he actually used the word that can be translated children. Children. It was a term of great endearment. He spoke to them, children. And though they did not know it was him, they did what he asked them to do. And what a catch they had. I wonder, what was it that made these men, experienced fishermen, remember, listen to an apparent stranger? What was it that made them listen to Jesus? Others may have told Jesus to do one and keep his advice to himself. I know certain fishermen who would do that. But not this group of fishermen. Perhaps there was something about the stranger's voice, the intonation, an authority, something that was familiar, that reassured them and gave them confidence. I've been thinking a lot about this passage from John's Gospel. It's a great passage. And I wonder if we see in the disciples' experience a mirror image of our own experience at times. Life as well has been good, and we have to remember and be grateful for that. Life can be really good, but on occasion, it can be hard going. Things can happen. Things go wrong. Sickness or sorrow comes. And when that happens, we can find ourselves in despair and perhaps even questioning our faith. And so as we look at the disciples in the boat, despondent to say the least, we might see a mirror image of ourselves. But can I put it to you that we also see a mirror image of the church at this time? The increase in secularism and the declining influence of the church in society causes some to despair and to wonder, where is God amidst all that's taking place? On Thursday, the General Assembly of our own Church of Scotland will convene in Edinburgh. Reports to be presented have been published, and some do not make easy reading. In the past 10 years, the number of members in the Church of Scotland has fallen by 35%. That's a lot. And the operating deficit for 2024, last year, was almost £6 million. That's a lot. And because of that, further cost-cutting measures will be presented to the General Assembly, including, I have to say, I read with some disappointment, the possible end of the printed version, at least, of Life and Work, the church's magazine. And I've also heard that there will be a proposal to have the General Assembly meet every 2 years rather than every year. Now, newspaper headlines will inevitably paint a picture of a church in decline. And if not on the way out, then certainly in crisis. But could the crisis, and I do not think that is too strong a word, could the crisis actually be a stimulus to action? To think afresh about what it means to be the church today in 2025. And as we think about that, then perhaps we need to think about what is working and working well for the kingdom. And we hold on to that. But what new things might we do? What fresh ideas might we consider? What plans might we produce that might just enable the church, locally as well as nationally, to re-engage with the people of Scotland once again? Because I believe with all my heart that the people of Scotland need the church when it is being true to the gospel and the teaching and the example of Jesus Christ, who died but rose again. Now, back to the passage. I find it very significant that what Jesus asked the disciples to do was not hugely different from what they were already doing. They had cast their net on one side of the boat, but caught nothing. And what did Jesus say? Did he say, get out of that boat or get into another boat? No, he didn't. Remain in the boat. But why not cast your net on the other side? It wasn't a big ask. All it took was a willingness to listen, to obey, and to try. And the result, it was dramatic. What a tremendous catch they had. My friends, can we learn from those first followers of Jesus? From small beginnings and gradual changes, great things can happen, just as they did that morning on the Sea of Tiberias long ago. It's interesting that John mentions the amount of fish that were caught, 153. I wonder why he did that. Some think it refers to the number of species of fish or the number of nations known to exist in the world at that particular time. Possibly. I could go along with that. But I can also accept that perhaps it was simply a fisherman's habit to count how many fish they caught in order that they might report back to their family or friends, or perhaps even to boast to other fishermen. How many fish did you catch? Oh, 147. That was good. Waiting to be asked, and what about you? How many did you catch? 153. Whatever the reason, I think the point is this. The catch was miraculously large, and that is symbolic not only of God's grace, but of the universal appeal of the gospel and of the fact that in the church that night there is room for all. No one is excluded. The net did not break. Young and old, black, white, gay, straight, all are welcome within the church of Jesus Christ. No one is excluded. In today's psalm, I'm almost finished. It's a great passage, this, you see. I really feel I could go on for hours and hours. Maybe I should. I'm almost finished. But in today's psalm that Callum read, Psalm 30, the psalmist had been going through a difficult time. He was in the pit of despair. And then the Lord lifted him from the abyss and restored him. And I love what he said. Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes when, in the morning. That was the disciples' experience by the Sea of Tiberias. Far from being cast off by their Lord, that morning was for them a fresh beginning. Though they had let him down, as we all do, they were restored by Jesus. And that experience transformed them. And from that time on, they caught people, not fish. Did you notice at the end that when the disciples approached Jesus and he was preparing their breakfast, he did something. He already had fish on the coal cooking. But he said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." Isn't that amazing? The disciples now knew that it was the Lord. And possibly, given their recent history, they felt they had nothing to offer to Jesus. That what they had to give, he didn't need. But it was not so. Jesus gladly took what they gave. And so it is with us today. We might feel we do not have much to give, that the gospel can be proclaimed and the church grow. But don't be fooled. We all have something to give. Each and every one of us has something to offer to the Lord. And be assured he will take whatever it is and he will bless it, and it will help bring in the day of his glorious kingdom. Every morning is a fresh beginning. Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. For my sake and the gospel's go and tell redemption's story, our closing hymn, hymn 200. and 48. 2, 4, 8. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore.